Greetings, everyone. So good to see everyone. Open your Bibles now to Proverbs chapter 10. I did have outlines on the chair for you to pick up, and please remember everything that we're dealing with tonight is on the inside of the insert. Tonight we're going to be addressing this subject that Proverbs speak much of, and is the living a life of honesty and integrity. And you might think, well, didn't we kind of touch on that? But there are so many things overlapping that when you live a life of wisdom in the fear of the Lord, it has all of these components and they overlap in every area of your life. This morning we dealt with the importance of godly leadership and the folly and the destructive nature of wicked leadership. Just in Proverbs, and saw what the rest of the scriptures affirmed by way of illustration. Tonight, we're going to be all positive. We're not going to talk about the bad guy tonight. Tonight is about living a life of honesty and integrity. And I have asked you to turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Call your attention to verse 9, and we'll use it to launch it into our message. After we read it, we'll pray. He who walks with integrity walks sincerely, but he who perverts his way will become known. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. Lord, we know we're supposed to be good, but the idea of good in human terms versus you and your standard is vastly different. But yet you use other words such as justice, uprightness, integrity. Father, help us to understand and grasp these truths and understand them, not only what they mean and how they should manifest themselves in our lives, but the driving motive that should bring these fruit in our lives. Too often we do these things for ulterior motives rather than the highest and most noble motive. So, Father, let us first come to understand what you mean by this and what it looks like, how it manifests itself, and then, above all, examine our hearts why we do it and make sure that everything lines up. May we honor and glorify you tonight as we ponder this subject together. In Christ's name, amen. One of the things that when you go through the book of Proverbs, there's a lot of different words that God uses, that a cluster of words that used to communicate a concept and an idea. And that's exactly what I'm going to address in point number one. Key words that we need to know. When we talk about living a life of integrity, one of the key characteristics of a wise person is they live a life of integrity and honesty. There are several words used to describe a person of integrity, such as just, upright, faithful, blameless, etc. There are many different similarities, but they have their own shades of meaning, but they all overlap in the fact that they're good, wholesome, right, and holy. The first word I want you to be aware of is the word weights. Weights. Strong number, it's the Hebrew number. If you know, when I use the term strong number, that is in the strong concordance in the back, when you get into the Hebrew dictionary, there is a number to help you understand what the Hebrew word is. That strong number is 8505, and the word weights mean ponder, to estimate, to measure out, to gauge. Basically, the word means to evaluate something by comparing it to a standard. What do we mean? Proverbs 21, verse 2. Every way a man is right in his own eye, but the Lord weighs the heart. The Lord weighs and examines and gauges. The Lord will take your life and gauge it to His standard, not our standard. We think we're all okay when we compare each other with each other. New Testament said that's not wise. We need to compare to God's standard, God's Word. So the word weights So when you live a life of integrity, you want to understand your entire life. It's going to be weighed and tried and examined and gauged by God to His standard. So that's a very important word we need to be aware of. The next word is the word justice, or to be just. This word, Strong's number 4941, used 20 times in the book of Proverbs alone. It is the word that means just, lawful, doing what is right by God's standard. Again, we have the standard. The standard of just and justice is not what the law of the land said, but what the law of the Lord said, what God's word said. And sometimes we can get kind of sucked in and kind of go with the flow. It's legal, but we're not talking about legal. We want to know if it's right. Right in God's eyes. Doing that which is right in His eyes. That word justice was so important that it was on the front. In fact, turn to chapter 1 where our study on the book of Proverbs all started. Chapter 1. And if you remember, the first verse talked about who God used as the author of this book. The human author, Solomon. And then in verses 2 through 5, it's actually through 6, it talked about the purpose of the book. Why God gave us this book. And He says in verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, that word I'm looking at right now, justice, judgment, and equity. In other words, if you back it up to verse 2, why would Proverbs be given? To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. So the idea of the word justice is clearly it doing what is right and what is lawful in God's eyes and in God's standard. We see that in the next chapter, in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 9. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, equity, and every good path. Now, those in our adult Sunday school hour know that I'm constantly hammering Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2, the first four verses had eight verbs that said these are conditions that you need to pursue wisdom with, and all of these elements. Then you'll understand. God will give it to you. And in verse 9 it said, in verse 9 teaches that then you'll understand righteousness and justice. You cannot understand true biblical justice if you live an ungodly life and do not fear the Lord. Impossibility. Proverbs makes it clear when you put them all these verses together. The next word is the word integrity. The one that I have used for our title is a good word. It is used 6 times. Strong number 8537. It means completeness, upright, faithfully living a life unsuspectingly before others. What does that mean? Living a life blamelessly, not perfectly, blameless. In other words, we need to understand what Proverbs 10:29 said, the way of the Lord is the strength for the upright. The word upright is the same word translated integrity in the other places in Proverbs. But destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. So the idea here is to understand that we need to live a life faithfully, that really we can't, people can't really, it's like Daniel. Daniel is a great example. When his enemies were trying to ferret out something in his record to hold him accountable, to present to the king, they couldn't find it. He would blame it. We all know Daniel was a sinner. Daniel was not a perfect man, but he was a blameless man. They could not find anything to accuse him of. He lived a life of blamelessness and integrity. They had to manufacture something up with his faith and his religion. So we need to be aware of that word. Then the next word is the word test. It's almost like the word waste, but different shades. It means to examine, to prove, to scrutinize, to determine the quality or character of something or someone. God will test. This is, using my Hebrew lexicon, it said this is a special Hebrew word that would use specifically of divine examination. It wasn't every, this particular Hebrew word, which was strong number 974, would never use for human to examine and evaluate someone or character or situation. This was God's examination. This was a special word that would coin, that addressed divine examination of an individual. Through and through you'll see this. This is seen in Proverbs 17 verse 3. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. The Lord tests the heart. Another place did Psalm 26 verse 2. Examine me. This is the word, same Hebrew word. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. Here is a person of integrity. They want God to examine their life. They want God to test and prove them and lead them in the way of everlasting. Here we even have in one of my favorite portions, and I went to look at this, and sure enough, this word showed up in this passage, Psalms 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxiety. That word try is the exact same word that we are talking about in the word test. That God will examine a life, an individual. And here, a man of integrity, a godly person, a man and a woman who want to plead the Lord, honor the Lord, and fear the Lord, they want God to scrutinize them and guide them in the way they should go. One last word before we move to point number two that's important in this list regarding a life of integrity, that is the word partiality. Partiality, very important word. This is the word, Strong's number 5375. It means to accept, show respect, regard, or lift someone up. It's the idea in a way that is negative. In other words, in Proverbs 18, verse 5, it says that it is not good to show partiality to the wicked or to overthrow the righteous in judgment. Many places in the Old Testament, mainly in the Law of Moses, it said this, show no partiality toward the poor. Or for the poor. What does that mean? Now, obviously, we want to make sure that the wealthy and the well-to-do and the influential doesn't always trump over and pervert justice when the poor need to rightly get what they have coming. But it also showed the reverse. Don't dumbly defer the truth and justice for the sake of the poor. I mean, after all, the rich man can survive and the poor can't. It's truth. It is what is the truth, what is just, and what is right. Because the judge is not supposed to fudge or show partiality whether they're poor or wealthy. A lot of times it's always toward the poor. We see that in James. James really cleared it. James chapter 2 said this, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. If you want to live a life of integrity, you cannot show partiality. You must, it's not about, okay, I'm on your side, I'm versus that. No, I'm on the side of truth, and wherever the situation leads, we're going to deal with the truth of the situation. It's not about you and them pitting. 1 Timothy 5:21 says this, I charge you, or I exhort you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. A lot of the reasons why we show partiality is, again, bribing, kickback. Well, if you defer the decision in my favor, I'll give you I'll give you a bonus for it. No, that's why they always have Lady Justice holding balances out, and she's blind. Because whatever the evidence proved and tipped the scale, that's the way you decide. And Lady Justice doesn't care who involved. That's why true justice is she is blinded and she is holding the scale weighing the evidence. That's what the idea. Partiality should never enter. And if you want to live a life of integrity and honesty, you cannot show partiality. People are not going to like you for it because they want you to defer to them. We are on the side of truth. Here lies a simple way how we cater to the fear of man instead of the fear of the Lord. Proverbs said the fear of man is a snare. One of the ways that snares us is right here. Showing partiality when the evidence says otherwise. So those are some of the key words that clutter regarding some things that we need to be aware of. Now let's look at the character traits of the just. Proverbs 10, verse 9, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. Proverbs 11, verse 3, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Here we see that the traits of a wise person are righteousness and integrity. And one, I want you to notice what it said clearly here. It said that they, chapter 10, verse 9, he who walks with integrity, walked at the idea of manner of life, during the course of their life, during the course of their decisions and their interaction and commerce and dealing with people, they are always doing it with integrity. And I love in 11, verse 3, it said, the integrity of the upright guides them. They are guided by principles, not by where the wind blowing today. Where is the popular opinion going today? What is it in it for me today? People of integrity are driven by principles. Godly principles rooted out of scripture. This says clearly, 11:3, that a man of integrity, a woman of integrity are guided by integrity. Not emotion, not favoritism, not partiality, not kickback, bribes, what have you. Because all of that overthrows the very heart and soul of integrity, justice, and just. Righteousness, uprightness, and the list goes on. Proverbs 10, verse 9, I already talked about that. And Proverbs 20, verse 6 and 7. And most of these verses are here, except when I get outside of Proverbs. It said, most men, listen carefully, most men or most people will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. We have to understand that none of us are going to be truly, ultimately faithful to the Lord. We're going to fail him. We're going to fall. And if you don't think you have that problem, let me tell another problem you have. Pride. You think you don't fall or fail at this point is the height of arrogance and pride before God. No one can be perfect or live a perfectly righteous life. But one can live consistently at a high level of integrity and honesty to be seen as blameless. This is what we're talking about. A person who lifelong walking consistently, though they fail, they get back up and they realize their downfall, their sin, and they confess, they repent, and they make changes. People who are proud, people who won't accept what others perceive as a situation are missing out. It's important to understand that. Their integrity guides them because they, again, are led by wisdom. The fear of the Lord is what's guiding them. fear of the Lord. Proverbs 11, verse 3 again says that the integrity of the upright will guide them. But listen to the second half of the verse. I didn't bring that up. But the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Notice the contrast. Integrity, unfaithfulness. When you do not live a life of integrity, you are seen as unfaithful to God. You can go to church all you want, but if you make decisions and act contrary to a person of integrity, you are unfaithful in your action. Stephen Charnock wrote one of the greatest books ever on the existence and attributes of God. About 1,100 pages of pure, sweet, good, rich theology, easy to read. Don't be intimidated by the bigness of it. It's rich. He had a section called Practical Atheism, one of the most convicting parts of his book. We may believe there is a God. You may even say you worship this God, but your actions speak of atheism more than faithfulness to Him. Your actions speak louder than your words. Your presence. Action in our day-to-day life out there in society speaks whether we really, truly believe God or not. And so we need to be aware of those. So not to walk a life of uprightness is viewed as unfaithful. Another place we see in Proverbs 13, verse 17, it said that a wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings health. First of all, the word messenger and ambassador, same word. The idea here is an ambassador is a person who acts in the place of one who had sent him. They're going on an errand on the behalf of another. You're representing someone, like we understand of an ambassador, okay? We need to, and to be a good and faithful ambassador is to represent only what the one who sent you to say and do. You don't have the right to interject and say something else that he didn't say. That's why it's important to see here in this verse, a faithful ambassador brings help, whereas a wicked messenger falls into trouble. Why? Because they are not giving what they were sent to give. The key in this verse is the word faithful ambassador. It's not just they're an ambassador. The key is to be a faithful one, a true one, a one who lived a life of integrity. Here's my favorite. You'll catch it as soon as I read it. For tonight, anyway. Proverbs 16:31. The silver-haired head is the crown of glory. Now, can you imagine why I like that verse? If it is found in the way of righteousness. There's a lot of silver-haired people out there who are not a crown of glory because they are alive. The end of their life of older age is not rooted and grounded in righteousness, uprightness. We have a lot of ungodly, wicked people who are just absolutely bad examples that you ought not to listen to their advice or their value system. But here it says, and it teaches us, that we should live a life, make a decision. We know that book was meant for young people. It was meant for parents to teach their children at home to nail these things down so when they live on their own and start their family unit, they begin to pass that on. But it's also designed, when you use that word, to live your entire life this way. So when you get old and gray-headed, make sure it's rooted in righteousness. In the fear of the Lord. Be faithful to the end. Be faithful. You'll fall. You'll trip. Praise God. Proverbs had another good one. A righteous man falls 7 times and gets up. Where wicked, they stay down. And so we need to understand here the silver hair head at the crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. It is important to live a life of consistency with integrity to old age silver hair. This person is just and not partial in their dealings and decisions with people. Proverbs 18, verse 5 says it, it is not good to show partiality to the wicked or to overthrow the righteous in judgment. Proverbs 24, 23, and these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to show partiality in judgment or making a decision or rendering a decision. He even says in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17, you shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small as well as the great, and you shall not be afraid in any man present, for the judgment is God's. When you act as a judge, you better judge as if God would oversee in your trial, your handling of the case. Whether they're big or small in the eyes of men, you treat them equally with the same standard. And do not be afraid of the presence of another man. In other words, do not fear man. Make good decision. A person of integrity is just and do justice. Proverbs 21:3, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Now we know the preeminence and the importance that God put on every Israelite to do their sacrifices. And yet he's saying it is better to live a just and godly life than sacrifice. And yet how many times they will go through the motion of a sacrifice and not live a life that they are called to live. Proverbs is warning that you want to be a wise person. You want to be a person of integrity. You want a person that truly fears the Lord. Integrity is part of your life. And the fact that you need to understand that righteousness and justice is more acceptable in the eyes of the Lord than doing your religious service. So we need to examine our own lives and how we deal with people out there. It's important that we understand that. Here's a good one. Proverbs 16, verse 8. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. Now, I've told you, you're going to see throughout Proverbs, better than, and he's showing the contrast or juxtaposition of it is better to do this than that. And yet, when you look at it on the surface, like, well, most people will defer to the money. Vast revenue sounds good. I want that. Don't care how I get it. God is saying it is better to have a little, but a life of righteousness, and it would gotten in a righteous, just way. Hard work, planning, saving, being a good steward of what you've been given. Please listen to this. Most people at first don't like to hear it and kind of think that it's a little out of date, but this is the word of God, mind you. Proverbs 28:5. Evil men do not understand justice. Did you get that? Evil people who do not fear the Lord, Proverbs 1 and 2, wisdom called out, they disregarded it. They ignored it. They put it off. Don't need it, not for me. Those people don't understand justice in the truest sense of the word. Then why would we have people who don't know that, don't fear the Lord, and live a life of ungodliness, put them in place of a position that will determine cases or outcomes? They don't understand justice. But those, I'm completing the verse now, Proverbs 28, 5. But those who seek the Lord understand all. They understand all. Here's one. At first, you might not think of it as an integrity issue, but it is when you violate it, and that is Proverbs 22, verse 28, do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. God had given every family their portion, and they had staked landmarks, and it would always remain in that family, period, and nobody would encroach. And even if they bought and sold on the year of Jubilee, everything went back to the family. So don't move the landmark. Even if you are overreaching and want to get a lot of land side by side, clearly, don't remove it. One of the good examples of overreaching covetousness is found in 1 Kings 21 when King Ahab wanted to take Naboth's vineyard. Clearly, he wanted that. He went out and said, man, I like that vineyard, but it doesn't belong to King Ahab. Though he's the most powerful man in Israel at the time, he's the king, but that land doesn't belong to him. It belonged to Naboth. And you know the rest of the story. If you don't, 1 Kings 21, good reading for tonight. The great, great story. One more sterling trait about a person of integrity is the desire to intervene and recover those who are in a perilous situation. Not all about integrity for personal advancement and my family's advancement. You can't get away from coming to Proverbs, study it in its fullness and richness and depth, and come away simply with wisdom and not have grace, mercy, and compassion, loving kindness. We saw that this morning. One of the distinctive marks of a godly leader was their mercy, grace, and loving kindness. Here in Proverbs 24, verse 11 and 12, write that down, Proverbs 24, 11 and 12. It said this, deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deed? And we all know the story of how in the world, you know, for instance, in World War II with Germany, how in the world did the average German person and people get complicit to the killing machine? They just did what they were told. Well, I didn't know this was happening. They can't claim that. Many of them at the end admitted fearfully they did it because they knew the alternative if they didn't. But they did make a decision to be complicit to the machine. Again, Proverbs 24, verse 11. People of wisdom and integrity deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. I want to introduce you to a person. His name is Sir Nicholas Winton. He was a British man who helped and saved Jewish children to escape the Holocaust. Nobody knew what he did for over 50 years, not even his wife, until one day she found a box. And this box had a notebook in it containing names and pictures of all these children he had saved. His wife took the notebook to a British broadcasting company, BBC television program, to which Sir Nicholas was invited. They proceeded to give out a name and asked the lady if she would like to meet the man who saved her life from the Nazi concentration camp. And she said, yes. And they said, he is sitting right next to you. And she would overwhelm and hug him and thanked him for saving his life. Then the program said that she was not the only one there that night who was saved by Winton, and asked all the people to stand who owed their life to this man, and nobody was prepared for what happened next because the entire audience stood that day. They were all children saved from the Nazi concentration camp. In total, he saved 669 children. Here is a man of integrity. He was willing to look and protect the children. He knew what was happening. And he even endangered his own life. And he didn't win any attention to himself, not even his wife, until 50 years later she found that notebook. People of integrity are people of action. On behalf of those who cannot defend or deliver themselves. If we don't, as godly people, defend those who can't defend and protect and deliver themselves from perilous situations, who is? Beloved, we need to be people, men and women of integrity. Point number three. And this is an important thing because I'm finding the opposite more and more as I continue in the ministry. The greatest motive for a life of integrity. Proverbs 15 verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Proverbs 17 verse 3, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. The greatest and highest motive is to honor and glorify God. You don't live in life integrity because it will make you get more money at the businessman. You don't live a life in integrity because people will think well of you. You don't live a life of integrity because it's pragmatic to do so and it's advantageous for me in many different levels. No, you do it to please the Almighty One. Don't miss that. We live in a world, and I hear Christians say, well, man, I'm glad I got rid of this sin because now I have saved this amount of money. You don't do it for that reason. That's a byproduct, but you do it unto the Lord. You do it to please Him. You do it because He's watching. You do it because you're going to be held accountable. You do it in the fear of the Lord. Not for all the perks, blessings, and kickbacks you're going to get as a result of living a good life. Moral people do that. Godly people don't. Our highest motive is God and His glory, His standard, and living up to Him and pleasing Him. Because I'll tell you what's going to happen. If you don't have that motive, and all of a sudden living a life in integrity is not advantageous, you're going to change. You will not be faithful because you rooted your motive in the wrong place. The right place is the eyes of the Lord are every place keeping a watch over the evil and the good. He tests the heart. These verses show that the inner driving motive for a life of integrity is the omnipresent and the omniscient of God. God is everywhere and He sees everything. Proverbs 5:21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He ponders all his path. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world, showing himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. Jeremiah 16:17, for my eyes or on all their ways. They are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity hidden from my eyes. How about Hebrews 4 verse 13? And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Beloved, make sure the reason why you want to live a life of integrity is you want to please and honor Him. Because you love Him, because you realize at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, we all answer to Him. If He wants to, He had already promised a blessed life, a good life, when we walk in the path of wisdom. He will bless us. When we go contrary, He chastens us and deals with us. But let's make sure the greatest and highest motive for why we do what we do, especially when it comes to our topic tonight of honesty and integrity, not because you want people to think well of you, it's because you want to please the Lord. God tests and examines the hearts. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17. We all are familiar with the dark verse, 17:9. Look at it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's what God says of every human heart in this room and every person in this world since the dawn of time, since the fall. But I want you to notice verse 10, which put the exclamation point to my final third point. I, the Lord, search the hearts. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So let's make sure that we're exhorted to live a life of integrity, uprightness, blamelessness, that our motive is to honor and glorify and please Him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the example that we see throughout Scripture, both good and bad. Thank you for such an example as Nicholas Winton, who sacrificed his own life to save 669 children. A man of integrity who saw life more important than a dollar and self-preservation. Lord, help us. We have our challenges today. Help us to be true and faithful. Help us to be men and women who are upright, honest, and of integrity. And may we do it to please and glorify you in Christ's name. Amen.